Jacqueline Malcolm.
Okay, so that was a little bit of Umar. It don't mean a thing. Okay, but enough of that. Because instead, with us in the studio, we are so excited to be welcoming Chichi Nwankwo. Hello. Did you like that big?
That was wonderful. I love the drum roll.
I know, right?
Very impressed.
Yes, but I mean, you must kind of hear that every time you walk into a room somewhere. You know what I mean?
Because hypothetically, you mean.
Yeah. Everyone like just applauds your journey. And of course, that's what we're going to get into. Because you were here with us for the New Year's. We had a big 2-hour show just about you, your life and your journey so far. So Chichi Nwankwo, you are the founder of Chineke, which is an all black orchestra.
Majority black.
Majority black. Yes. Orchestra,
yeah.
Yes, but I mean that is why it kind of rose into prominence. But absolutely. Your own journey, where you started and your connection with music, where did that begin? Where did you discover that?
I think music has always, I think the first sound and realization of something musical always had a magnetic effect on me. It was always a magnetizing for
yes.
me. Yes, and I remember being in my dad's village in Nigeria, and he was holding me, and one night we were just looking at the stars. I was about 2.5 years of age.
And you remember
that? And I asked him to tell me what they were, and that's when he then taught me to sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Oh.
So I consider that to be my first music lesson.
Oh my gosh, in the arms of your papa,
yes, yeah.
Close to his heart. Of course music's going to mean something to you.
It's very close to my dad. And
right.
Music was very much around, always in our house. And as soon as I got, I come from the generation where we had music all the time at
yes.
school, in our state schools.
Right.
And so I just grabbed it. It was just another activity that you could really get stuck into.
Right.
And just digging into it and because there's the teamwork aspect about it as well when you play in a group
yes.
with recorders and singing every morning with the school for assembly, and we always sang at home as well every
right.
single day.
Right, but I find like what you're saying about the teamwork of it, and yet with orchestras you're watching an orchestra and you see that they are individuals who are in their own right passionate and so intimate with their instrument. And it's just them and their instrument. And yet, they're somehow embracing the whole.
Yeah.
How does that feel? Because, of course, I've never played an instrument. I mean, I've played instruments, but I've never played an orchestra.
Right.
So I've never known how powerful that actually is.
It is very powerful. I think sometimes we take it for granted because it's what we do.
Right.
But there is, as you say, you're very right in saying every single person on that stage is a master of their instrument.
Yes.
And the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours that go into,
right.
you know, getting to a certain place with your instrument.
Yeah.
And then you walk onto a stage with an orchestra and you have to hand over a certain amount of responsibility to the person on the podium.
That's
the
right.
conductor.
Yes, yes.
And you have to be able to trust that person to bring you all together
right.
in a unified interpretation of a symphony or something.
Exactly, yeah. of a piece that yeah. you may have played just slightly different under someone else's direction. And so
yeah.
there is that relationship with the conductor.
Yes.
How often do you get to conduct yourself?
And not a conductor.
Oh, you don't conduct
I
at all?
I have conducted.
Right.
In fact, I had my conducting debut in Lagos
oh.
2 years ago at the Muson,
the
music school in Lagos. And I conducted the orchestra there, actually. They just said, oh, by the way, would you please get them? So I, without realising what I was doing. And it actually went very well.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. Do you know what? I assumed that you would normally conduct.
No,
Chineke, especially.
It's funny because a lot of people say that to me. Do
yeah.
you conduct? And I don't conduct. I'm a double bass player.
Right.
And I used to play the piano as well.
Yeah.
I don't practice the piano anymore. But and people say, well, you look like you're conducting it from the back of the orchestra.
Oh.
Oops. Well, but I think most people, especially when you're really incredibly physically
right.
engaged with your instrument. I mean,
yeah.
everyone has to be physically engaged in order to play it. But I think because I'm quite, I move quite a bit when I play. So perhaps that's why people think I should conduct.
No, you've got this air of authority.
Oh, that's it, is it?
No, no, you really have not in a negative way. Okay. You just, you naturally, I know you may not be aware of it because this is how you just walk. You're like the queen. If the queen walks into the room, she's the queen. It doesn't matter. She doesn't care. She knows she's the queen. And so I think you walk in with that level of authority into a room. And I think that's why I've just always, oh yes, well, she is the conductor. You know what I mean? She is the most important person on the stage right now. You know what I mean? So maybe that's it. And I think you've earned it. I mean, I don't want to go, because we've got such a short time, I'm purposefully not going through your profile. It's massive. Oh. So I'm picking out bits.
Okay.
But then anyone can go onto the Colourful Radio and read all about you. And we're going to hear more about you. And we're going to be talking about the Africa concert series where they can actually come and see you perform, which is going to be amazing. We're going to be there. So it's going to be amazing. So I'm just fascinated by, because I was reading as well from that you started out as though you were going to, well, you started out totally connected with music. And then you got sidetracked into sports
into
a little
athletics,
bit.
Into sprinting, that's right.
And you got to a national level.
Yeah.
You don't do things in halves, do you? You literally just don't.
I've always been an all or nothing
yes.
person. And, you know, I'm one of those, I was one of those kids that, I've got fast twitch muscles anyway. You know, people have different twitch muscles.
Yes.
Systems in their body, and right. I'm fast twitch, and you know, I think it was the Canterbury and District Primary School Sports. Every year they would bring all the primary schools together from around the Canterbury area, and we lived just outside Canterbury, and I was put into this was called the flat race, which was right. the sprint.
Right.
I was 8 years of age, and and of course I won it by a long way, and there happened to be a sprint coach there from Canterbury Athletic Club touting.
Oh my god.
And that's how that all started.
That's all that happened.
And so I was trained twice a week, one to one with him, 2 hours twice a week.
Wow.
So that's 4 hours a week with him. But as an 8 year old, I couldn't get enough of it. Because I was the first of five children, and I wasn't an only child for very long because my brother was born 11 and a half months after me. And then the twins were born a year and a half after him.
Wow.
And then mum lost two more sets of twins, and then my other sister came along.
Oh.
So it was a busy household.
Yeah.
And nobody was pampered or, you know, we it was in the days when we were allowed, we were outside more than we were inside.
Yes.
You know, we just had adventures, and but to have that one-to-one attention was I lapped it up, and I had my piano teacher and my sprint coach.
Wow.
And I learned those disciplines.
Yes.
From a very young age.
Yes.
And those disciplines, I know now that they have marked it out for me and
right.
have carried me through the rest of my life.
No, they really have. They've served
they really
you
have.
Well, and you, but
yeah.
you've allowed them to. It's like you've embraced your life.
Yeah.
You really have. And what I love about you, this is why you excite me, you can tell I'm excited. It's like you use your voice. So, especially within our community and people of colour, it feels like sometimes we're allowed to be sportsmen and we're allowed to be actors and we're allowed to entertain. And sometimes I say it very crudely, I admit, but sometimes I say it's like, as long as they can train a monkey to do it, then we can do it. And that's almost like we're happy to be embraced at that level sometimes. And I'm not saying they as in a colour thing, I'm saying the system. The system that is set up for some reason to kind of work against us sometimes.
Yes.
So any person of any colour or anything who knows how to use their voice and use their influence and get their seat around the table. And when I'm looking at your life in every area, that's what you do. It's like you don't just entertain, you master your crafts across the board. You master them, you get to the top, but you don't ever seem to stop there. Do you see what I mean? It's like you've got something to say though, and you
yes.
use your voice.
Yes, I think it's really important. And it's one of the things that my Irish parent, my mother,
yeah.
she was the one who kind of politicised her five kids.
Oh,
our
brilliant.
Father was our identity. My father was from the southeast of Nigeria.
Yes.
And mum politicised us. She was the tigress and the lioness and all of those things, because she was abandoned by her family. Said, don't cross our doorstep again, when she was marrying my father.
Right,
and
right.
So, and she grew up in a very, very struggling Southern Irish environment, really
right.
struggling. And she told us, she used to tell us the story of, you know, every single day when she went to school, she was taught by nuns. And every day they were made to recite Latin. Oh. And every day she put her hand up and she said, but what does it mean? And then she would be beaten because you weren't supposed to ask questions. Just do as I say. It was it was a do as I say situation.
Yes.
And yet every single day she put her hand up and said, but what does it mean? She carried, and every day she got beaten. Until they eventually told her. And she encouraged her children, every one of us, to be curious. And she always used to say, a curious child is a healthy child. A curious child is an intelligent child. You don't just accept what people tell you.
Thank you.
Go and find it out for yourself. And I'm such a literal person.
Yes.
I dot my I's, I cross my T's. And I take that on board. When my parents say, go out and discover.
Yes.
I've done that. And I just, it doesn't just stop there because I can play my bass well, or because I can do whatever I've done well. Just want to see what else is there for me.
Well, where can this then lead me, and what can this do? And you're not, it's not even about just yourself, is it? It's like,
absolutely,
you are one of those women who you are determined to open the door.
Absolutely. We all know people of colour. You know, I've done 35 years on the international concert platform.
Yes.
And being the only black person in the orchestra.
Right.
I've done that. I've helped to raise the profiles of these orchestras because I've always, my playing standards is
very high. Yes.
And
excuse me.
And so now it's our time. And now I've got to a position where I didn't even realize I had a voice, to be honest. And it was ironical because it took Ed Vasey, the previous culture minister, to kind of say, come on, Chichi. He invited me in for a few meetings to say, look, why do we only ever see you regularly on the international?
Right.
And what he meant was the only black person
in
the classical environment. And of course I knew I was the only person in the orchestras, but what was I going to do about it? So he kind of dangled this kind of carrot. And when the penny dropped, boy, I just haven't looked back. Because I think it's so important when you do have that moment when you realise, I've earned my stripes. I know that people, you know, I walk out on the stage and I deliver what I'm being paid to do. So that means there's a space for everybody else can do the same.
Right.
And one of the things, you know, people try to say was that, oh, well, there's not many people of colour playing classical music because it's not really it's not really your kind of music, is it? Oh, excuse me.
And
the standard is not very good. Excuse me.
Right.
And so it went like that until I then went underground. I became a stalker until I found a junior and a professional, or two orchestras at the same time.
Oh, I didn't realise you did them at the same time.
There's two orchestras. You know,
I knew there was two, but...
Yeah, they played here last year at the festival. Africa Centre Festival. But our first concerts were on the same day, 13th of September 2015.
Oh, my God.
And also, the other thing that's important to remember, I don't lower the standard of music. I don't lower the barrier for our people to step over. I raise it high.
Yes.
And make people go over it.
Exactly.
And actually, the higher I raise it, the higher people are going. People are just going over
Thank
it.
You.
The juniors are winning scholarships everywhere. People are winning jobs and auditions in orchestra, trials with orchestras. All sorts of things are happening.
Exactly. I mean, look at the protege. Look at the people who you are now permitting to be able to be seen and to be heard. I mean, look at Kanu. Mason.
Sheku.
Yeah. What's his name?
Kanu Mason.
Yeah. That's it. It's not Kanu, so Kanu Mason, because we had the Kanu Masons, the couple. Yeah. Oh, yes, you were here.
I wasn't here. I was actually in Australia, I think. But I knew... I came here before, but I knew that they were...
They were being interviewed.
Yes.
Yeah.
I listened to it on the radio.
Yeah, they were just amazing. So, yes, and it is because of your diligence, your daring, your tenacity to take on a world that was dominated, that is no longer dominated.
Well, we've changed the conversation. You've totally changed it. And one of the things, when I was finding the junior players, for example, as well as the professional players, I didn't put an advert out because I was thinking about... Because many people have said, so how did you recruit Chichi? I don't remember seeing adverts. Well, I didn't put adverts because I asked myself, if I saw an advertisement for a new orchestra looking for people like me, would I apply for it? Probably not, because I, you know, because I nothing like this had existed before.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure how.
There
so
you
I
go.
Thought the only way, I need to find everybody, track them down and speak to them. I spoke to everyone two or three times for hours. So they understood the whole
the vision of what you were trying
vision,
to do.
The mission.
There.
When I was, I remember the first phone call with the Kenny Mason family. Mm. I spoke to Caddy, mum.
Yes.
And one of the things, you know, when she told me about the seven kids and how, you know, super talented they were, she said, one of the things she said was, Chichi, the, you know, the oldest three are at the academy, Brimer and Shaker were at Junior Academy, and Isata was in her first year at the Royal Academy. She said, they feel as though they're in a vacuum.
Wow.
Chinike has focused them.
There.
And that's been the difference.
This is it.
You know, all these kids being the only super talented person, we didn't have a network before Chinike.
Yes.
It was like divide and rule everywhere.
Exactly.
But now we can network with each other, and people will feel buoyed up and supported and encouraged
Absolutely.
By each other.
Exactly.
And it's a place where when we come together, no one feels as though they're the odd one out.
Yes,
everyone
there
feels
you go.
As though they belong.
Yes.
Even the white people who've played with us, because we're majority black and minority ethnic now.
Right.
The first two concerts were strictly black and minority ethnic.
Right.
Just to make a point, get the ball rolling.
Yes, exactly.
So now we're inclusive.
Yes.
We're like a...
How London is meant to
yes.
look.
How
this
the
world is
yes,
meant to look.
The orchestra looks like our community. And,
they're
you know,
wonderful.
And it's funny because it just yesterday... No, this morning I got another email from one of the white people who played in our concert on... Sunday yeah. at the Queen Elizabeth Hall, and she said, Chichi, I've never felt more welcome and more proud to be in an orchestra as I do when I play with the Chinike.
Oh,
and these are the white
wonderful.
Musicians, because they finally feel as if they, you know, not only you take it as a given that we are all playing our instruments and we've spent all those hours practicing because it means so much to us. It's like a what's the word? It's not like a job. It's like a you've chosen to do it.
Your vocation.
Vocation. That's the mm-hmm. word I'm looking for. And but people feel that there's a greater purpose in what Chinike is doing.
Yes.
And I remind people, Chinike is not only for the benefit of black and minority people. It's for the whole industry. The whole industry will benefit
yes.
from more inclusion.
Absolutely. I don't even know where to go from there. Seriously. I mean, I think. You're so passionate about this that when you articulate it, it's just so spot on. And I think this is why it is so inclusive, because it isn't about trying to make a point. It's about saying, this is for everyone.
Yeah, allowing
and
it.
this is the platform. And I just think it's wonderful. So I think what we should do... Oh, Pixie's got something to say. She's draining... Oh. She's not.
I was just listening.
Oh, you were listening very, very intently as though you had something to say. Active listening. Okay, so what we want to do is, for those people, the rare people out there who have never heard any of Chinike's music, we're going to play one of their songs right now. Just a taste of it. We're not going to play the whole piece. Just a taste of it, just so that you get a chance to listen to why we're raving about this. And then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the African Concert Series, which... Chichi will be playing in a string quartet on the 17th of July at the October Gallery. So just bear with me while I get this music going.
Like music going.
It always really, really helps when you have a Pixie in the room. So I'm hoping I am pressing play right now on this music. I'm going to keep talking until
See?
I... Okay. Did you want to, while it's playing, did you want to say something?
Oh, about what we're going to
listen to. Yeah, what we're listening to right now.
We're listening to, hopefully, the second movement, the Adagio movement from Dvorak Symphony No. 9. It's called the Symphony of the New World, which Dvorak wrote when he was in America, and America was the New World.
Right, okay, let me... Wow. Oh my goodness me. Talk about music in its purest form.
Yeah. There's a wonderful story about behind that piece.
Yes.
Because Dvorak, who was, he came from what we now know as the Czech Republic.
Right.
Was one of the greatest European composers. Was invited by this lady, I can't remember her name. She created the first music academy in America, in New York.
Wow.
She invited him over to New York with, he came with his family, to be the director of this new academy. And because classical music didn't really exist in America at that time.
Right.
So she invited one of Europe's finest composers. She asked him to write a symphony that gave them the sound of America. I mean, when you hear Bach and Beethoven, you think of Germany. When you hear Elgar, you think of England. Or Samuel Coleridge Taylor, you think of England. When you hear, Rossini, you think of Italy.
Right.
You can kind of picture these. But America didn't have a sound in the classical music genre area.
Right.
And so they invited Dvorak. And so he went on a trip around the country to try and gather information and listen to the country.
Oh, wow.
What did he come across? He came across slaves on the fields singing spirituals.
Oh,
he
wow.
came across Native Americans singing their songs. And by the time he got back to New York, he said, the sound of this country, the sound of the Negro slaves and the American people. And he wrote that piece of music is based on the pentatonic scale, which is very like our spirituals.
Yes.
And that's why it's called the New World Symphony. And that was the basis of what he said that America...
Isn't that amazing?
This is the sound of America. The African slaves.
Right.
And it's an incredibly powerful story.
That is, and it definitely a story that needs to be told more and more right now.
Yes, and at the concert that we're going to be talking about at the Africa concert series.
Yes.
They're going to be playing, there's about three major works that Dvorak wrote when he was in America for that short part of
Brilliant.
His life. He wrote that symphony, which was his ninth symphony and final symphony, and he wrote a string quartet, and which is called the American Quartet. And again, it's based on the sort of pentatonic scale.
Right.
And they're going to be playing two movements of his American Quartet at the Africa Concert Series.
Brilliant. And that is next week, Thursday, the 17th of July. And we can get tickets by just going on there's now the website, the African Concert Series. Is it the AfricanConcertSeries.com?
Yes.
Okay, and also at the October Gallery, and we will be tweeting that out.
Yeah.
All the information where you can get your tickets. We are going to be there again. We always go and then try and grab people because they've been phenomenal concerts.
Yeah, I will be there, but I won't be playing because it's just going to be a string quartet.
Oh.
But we are doing another concert there in October.
Ah,
and I will be playing.
You will be playing. So where can people see you play next? And bigger question is, what comes after all of this? Because you've already achieved things that people would only hope to achieve in their lifetime. If people had achieved 10% of what you've done in their lifetime, they would have achieved much. So you've achieved so much. So, and yet you can see the fire and the passion and the burning in you to continue doing more.
Oh yeah, there's a lot more to come.
Yeah, and, so what's coming? What is coming?
Well, we're doing the CBeebies prom this year, actually.
Oh,
they're
awesome.
They're both sold out. It's a repeat concert. 21st and 22nd of July. They'll be on TV. It'll be on TV soon. And then we've just had the Wigmore, and we had a concert on Sunday at the Queen Elizabeth Hall, which was great. We're in Hull next week on the 11th.
Wow.
On Sunday, we're in Hull. But we are South Bank, the Africa Utopia Festival.
Oh, fantastic.
In September. I'll need to quickly check what date that is.
Okay.
But September the 13th or 15th, I think it is.
So is there a website that people can just follow you on?
Chineke.org.
Chineke.org.
You'll see all our future concerts.
Then your
there.
Schedule will be right there. But, and you personally, yes, go ahead.
Oh, well, I mean, it's more the same. One of the things that people will be hearing about it soon because I'm trying, the next thing I'm going to be that I am working on is it's for a very, 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 very important concert next summer, which I'm not really allowed to talk about.
Oh, right.
But I am looking for singers for a chorus. And ooh, it's going to be very, very, very powerful. The chorus and doesn't have to be people who read music, but just people awesome. With a very powerful voice who want to be involved in an incredibly earth-shattering exciting. Concert next
earth-shattering.
Summer.
Earth-shattering. Oh,
so if people can write to us to be, you know, to make auditions, that would be fantastic. We'll be leaving it quite a big legacy for the Chinookic. It'll be like an amateur symphonic chorus, and wow. it'll be our legacy, and it'll be teaming up with another well-known chorus. I'm not allowed to
yes,
say
you
too
can't
much,
go into it
but,
yet.
But
you are
people won't be disappointed, and there will be auditions. So we'll want sopranos, contraltos, tenors, and basses.
Brilliant.
It's the voice and the ability to learn a piece of music from memory.
Right.
And be part of this 300-piece choir.
Oh, how exciting. And so they don't need to have gone through official training, but there will be an audition process, so they will have to be able to deliver at the audition.
Yes.
And they must know that they can learn a song
yes,
from memory.
Yes, they've got to learn something from memory. And the audition will just involve them bringing any song of their own choice.
Brilliant.
And then we will ask them to try a few things out.
Yes.
And of course, the performance will be with the Chinookic Orchestra.
Oh, my goodness.
And a 300-piece choir.
Oh,
and,
yeah, so it's not for the week. I mean, like, if you're really nervous, you may need to just stay home.
Live with them for the rest of their lives,
event. Oh, wonderful.
So there's so many singers amongst us. And of course, it doesn't matter whether you can read music or not. You've just got an ear.
Right.
And the ability to sing together as part of a group, not
exactly.
go off on one.
Exactly.
You know, it's
exactly.
this whole thing about doing something together.
Yes.
But, you know, one of the things, I mean, you said that you can tell that I've got more things to do. And we talked earlier about the fact that, you know, I've got a voice and I've been using it.
Mm.
But what's important for me is that I encourage and I want to see everyone else using their voices as well.
Right.
And, you know, people have to know that they have a voice. And that is so important. And,
yes.
And one of the things that's, you know, we've waited a long time to get here.
Right.
And one of the things is that, and it's something that we see happening around us, you know, when one of us gets to a high position and then kicks the ladder away. So
right,
that,
exactly.
And this has to stop.
Absolutely,
you know,
must
and,
stop.
And when we walk through that door, we don't just let it close behind us.
Yes.
Each and every one of us, whether we're soloists or orchestral players, that we walk through that door and we hold it open for the next one. You know, this
love
is
that.
Absolutely vital because no one single person can do this on their own.
Exactly.
This is a communal joint effort.
Absolutely.
What if Martin Luther King had like just shut the door once sort of like he
exactly,
got through?
Exactly.
Or Rosa Parks, when she got her seat on the bus, that's it, I'm fine,
yes.
that's okay. But no, it should be a group effort. That's what we have to do this journey together.
Yes, and it applies to music and musicians as well.
And it's wonderful because definitely, Chi-Chi, your life sings that. Your life absolutely sings that. I was reading all about you, of course, to prepare for this because I know I never like going through someone's profile list. I mean, people can Google all that stuff, but I look for the person. And that's all that was coming to me was that you are so committed to making sure this door is open and remains open on a global scale.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, you're going into countries, you've got no business being there, but you're going there and you're letting your voice, you're speaking out. And I love you so much. Seriously. Seriously. I've met you a few times, but really getting into your life, it's like, oh my gosh, what an inspiration. And so thank you.
Well, thank you for supporting us and
100%
helping to put our story out.
Yes. And I love how you say our. You know, you always say our. Like, I'm thanking you personally. But yes, I hear your heart. And I know that's the only way you could do this. So we've come to the end of this morning's show. So please remember to, I correct myself. Chi-Chi will not be playing herself. So, you know, don't start, you know, shaking her and saying, why aren't you playing when you see her there? But she will be there. And it's going to be a wonderful four-string quartet. It's the African Concert Series on the 17th of July. Please make sure you're there. We're going to be there. It's at the October Gallery and you will not be disappointed. So please make sure you book your ticket. Absolutely fantastic events. And don't go anywhere. We're going to have a little bit of news and music now. We're going to have some news. And then straight after that, we are going to be talking with Ahmet from the Get Into Theatre, the director of the Get Into Theatre project, and that whole movement that he is really generating, doing a fantastic work. So we're going to be talking about that. And then you're also going to be able to get a taste of our very first interview with Wendell Pierce, who is leading at Death of a Salesman. Got to interview him yesterday. Fantastic time. So we're going to have some of that, all of that coming after all of this.
Jacqueline Malcolm. Color.